Chapter 4, Scarrato, DV, minus 81 days.
Are you sure it is really Gareth?
Korax looked at the space marine on the flickering vidscreen, trying to decide for himself. The new arrival certainly looked like the warrior who had been appointed by Korax to the command of his ceremonial guard. Not only his face, but his build, the way he carried himself, were the same as those etched into the Primarch's memory. He didn't need the voice match analysis for confirmation either. His superhuman hearing was as accurate as any machine. Arendi, or the man claiming to be him, was alone in the room, sitting on a bare bench, arms folded. Now and then he would glance up at the vid transmitter with a sour look. He wore a thick, sarong-like belt of coarse material, having been divested of his armor on arrival. That plate was undergoing examination by the armory, who looked for any kind of transmitting or tracking devices that might lead them to Arendi's true masters. Korax had given it a cursory look, impressed by the modifications and field repairs that had kept it functioning. Arendi's time in the machine shops of the Lycaeus prison had left an aptitude for such things, though his calling had not taken him to the ranks of the Tech Marines. The former commander of the Shadow Wardens was Lycaeus-bred, his muscled body leaner than many legionaries, cheeks and eye sockets hollow. He had always been as such, but the years following the Dropsite massacre had not been kind. Bolt scars pocked his massive frame, blade cuts marked his back and shoulders, and from his left hip to right pectoral was the swirl of a plasma splash. In places, the flesh had been burned so deeply that it revealed the dark shadow of his black carapace beneath puckered flesh. Such wounds meant nothing, as easily inflicted by weapons carried by loyalists as traitors. There was one mark, however, that Korax could decipher easily. It was three lacerations from left ear to shoulder. Someone that had not been fighting in the Urgal Depression might have thought the wound caused by an animal attack, but the Primarch knew better. Some maniacal traitor beast had tried to rip out Arendi's throat, and all of the evidence meant nothing since the incident at Ravendelve, when Alpha Legion infiltrators, wearing false faces and faked battleplate, had been uncovered amongst the Raven Guard ranks.
"Gene testing will take several more hours, Lord Korax," said Sukunu, who had been placed in charge of the new arrivals simply by dint of being on watch when they had first arrived. "I have sent for the librarian, Balsar Kuthurai."
Sukunu turned his back on the display to face Korax, troubled.
"He has been asking for you constantly, Lord, over and over. The others keep telling us that you must speak with Arendi too." "Sounds suspicious," said Korax.
He peered at the small screen.
"Why would they not pass any information to you?" "That's what I thought as well, Lord. I asked Arendi that question myself."
The commander glanced at the monochrome image.
"He claims he has news of an important target in some system called Karandiru. He said he needed to speak to you first before word spreads to the others. I don't know what he means by that." "I cannot see how he poses any physical threat to me, so if he is a traitor, I think we can assume it is not an assassination attempt."
Korax scratched his chin in thought.
"Very well. I will talk to him."
The former bodyguard was in a chamber nearby. Korax glanced at Sukunu, who had followed him to the entrance. The Raven Guard met the look with a grim expression and opened the door. Arendi jumped to his feet, fist to his chest as Korax ducked through. The sound of the latch rang loudly as the door closed behind the Primarch. The room seemed suddenly small, filled with Korax's presence.
"My lord," Arendi's eyes glittered with moisture, "it is good to see you alive."
Korax did not return the sentiment. He glared at the space marine, fingers knotted behind his back.
"Why are you here?"
the Primarch demanded.
"We received the call, my lord," Arendi said, confused.
He looked around the room. It was not a purpose-built cell that had been cleared of all furnishings except for the bench.
"In truth, I did not expect to be made a prisoner again."
"Trust is a scarce resource in this age,"
the Primarch replied, regretting the truth of the statement.
Not all are as they appear to be.
A truth I know well, my lord.
Arendai relaxed a little, hands falling to his sides. He grinned suddenly.
Really, it is such a relief to see that you are alive and well. We thought, well, with the Gorgon and the Lord of Drakestead, it was anarchy. But we always hoped that you had gotten away. If anyone could, we said, it would be the Raven Lord.
We will have time to reminisce later. What is it that you say only I can hear?
Apologies, Lord Korax, but it is a matter that might spread discontent should it fall upon the wrong ears, said Arendai.
He started to gesticulate as he spoke, reminding Korax of his old expressiveness.
There is another prison, my lord, a whole world, it is said, where the rebels have incarcerated millions, some legionaries amongst them, but many Imperial Army and most of them civilians. Bad stories, my lord, very bad.
The thought caused Korax some consternation, and memories of Lycaeus were quick to surface. The Primarch pushed them aside to concentrate on the present matter.
Why would such news be so dangerous? He muttered. It is no surprise. The traitors have been enslaving whole worlds across the galaxy.
Korax growled as he dwelt on the notion, bringing his gauntlets up to form fists. Arendai held up a hand, as though he thought the Primarch might attack him.
It is only rumour, my lord, warned the legionary. A tale passed from one to another along an uncertain chain. It might even be a trap intended to ensnare you.
Now I understand your reluctance, said Korax.
Some of his commanders, and the lower ranks too, might jump at any chance to exonerate themselves, regardless of the consequences. Yet Arendai was quick to point out the flaws in his own story.
You were right to remain silent until now. The Karandiru system is some distance away. It would be no small endeavor to investigate these rumors.
Yes, several thousand light years, Lord. Perhaps it is of no consequence. We came to serve whatever your orders. We had hoped, that is, when the nights were long and the weather at its most bleak, we had believed nonetheless that the Legion had survived. It was difficult.
Arendai's voice trailed away, and he looked earnestly at the Primarch.
We heard other rumors, wild stories. Legions destroyed, Primarchs slain. Those that hunted us when we caught them taunted us with tales of the Raven Guard's destruction. It was hard not to believe, but we held true. We knew they were lying.
Not quite, Korax said with a sigh. We are not the force that existed before Istvan. Less than 4,000 of the old Legion remain.
Arendai stared at the Primarch, brow knotting, his expression pained.
I suppose it was too much to hope. We should have known. It was hard enough for us to escape. Why did we expect it would be any different for the rest of the Legion?
How exactly did you leave Istvan?
Korax asked quietly, his dark gaze intent on the space marine.
Luck as much as judgment, confessed Arendai. The traitors were so intent on killing, they did not inspect the dead for some time. I survived until the night came, and then slipped away. I knew it was too risky to broadcast on the usual Legion frequencies, but there were others who escaped, alone and in small groups. Not just Raven Guard, but Iron Hands and Salamanders too. The renegades tried to hunt us down, and a few fell or gave up, but we kept on the move. Eventually we stumbled across the cargo lighters of a transport, dropping supplies to one of the watchposts. We managed to take the lifter and then seize the ship in orbit.
Arendai scratched at his brow, skin flaking away. Korax looked at the legionary properly and could see the fatigue in his eyes. Nutrient and sleep-deprived, his skin was dry and mottled like a pale lizard, eyes bloodshot and dark-rimmed.
How long ago?
Arendai shrugged.
Hard to say for sure. We were on Istvan for 630 days, give or take a few.
After that, the rapid warp jumps made chronology difficult to fix. We've been bouncing from system to system, just looking for allies or enemies, trying to do what we could to hurt the traitors.
630 days.
It was Korax's turn to be shocked, but as his surprise subsided, a small measure of pride swelled up within him.
A remarkable achievement. What of the others, the Salamanders and Iron Hands?
Arendai looked away suddenly and clasped his hands together, fingers knotting and fidgeting.
Captured, or dead, most likely.
Korax looked at Arendai for some time, trying to reach several conclusions. He was almost certain that this was the veteran of Lycaeus that had ascended the ranks of the Raven Guard to become one of the Primarch's most trusted commanders. Everything about Arendai was authentic, from the way he talked to his scent and mannerisms. The story seemed not only plausible, but unfortunate, and there was a genuine hurt in the Space Marine's eyes, hurt Korax had seen 1,000 times over in the gazes of those that had departed Istvan with him, thinking on the brothers that had been left behind.
It was my decision not to return to Istvan, the Primarch said, quietly.
It was the first time that he had made such a confession out loud, though similar thoughts had been voiced by others, not out of accusation, but lament. He met the legionary's anguished look.
I knew there would be other survivors, but there was a greater threat. Stopping Horus was more important.
Arendai's gaze hardened and his jaw tightened, but the Space Marine nodded.
Of course, my lord. I understand.
It probably wasn't the easiest decision.
It was, Korax said firmly, one of the simplest I've ever taken. I've never thought of any warrior as expendable, and I still do not, but I've never regretted or doubted my decision. The scales were tipped so far that there was no other choice.
Taking in a deep breath, Arendai straightened and stood to attention. And what of the prisoners at Karandiru?
Do you think we should rescue them? Korax asked, stepping towards the door.
Aye, my lord. I do. Korax directed an inquisitive look at the legionary, so Arendai offered explanation. You taught us that war is not won simply by force of arms. Some foes must be utterly annihilated, but many can be defeated in their minds long before they are broken militarily.
And what bearing does that have on this mission?
The converse, my lord. Even if a mission is not obviously of military benefit, it has value. If we are willing to let millions suffer torment and degradation for, who can say, how many years, I am not at all sure that we deserve to win this war. It was a remarkable statement, made all the more stunning for the bluntness of its delivery. Korax had not heard the like from his warriors, and for a moment he considered admonishing Arendai for such seditious talk. The Primarch stopped himself, thinking about the traumas that Arendai must have undergone. It was no excuse for poor behavior, but it gave the former commander an almost unique perspective. If anyone knew about the value of hope, sometimes blind hope, then it would be those men and women like Arendai who had striven in the face of hopelessness and utter defeat. Korax laid a hand on the legionary's shoulder, bending low to be eye to eye with him.
There is much to be done, so I do not promise that we will liberate Karandiru. I will, however, take heed of what you have said and bring all thought to bear on the matter.
Arendai nodded in thanks, and Korax moved away. As he reached the door, he glanced back.
I want to believe you, Gerith.
I know, said the Space Marine. That is why you can't.
A day, maybe less, and you will be reunited with the rest of the Legion. We are not so numerous that we need another commander, but your insight into the traitor's workings will be much valued.
Arendai said nothing, and Korax felt his eyes on him as he left. Sukuna was outside, obviously agitated and out of patience.
Is it him?
asked the commander. Can he be trusted? Korax did not reply immediately. It was not a simple question to answer. He thought about everything that had happened in the last few years. The treachery of Horus and others of his brothers, the Alpha Legion and their machinations, the schism of the Mechanicum. And he knew that, though his instinct told him that the man in the chamber was Gareth Arendi, and that he was still loyal to the Raven Guard, such instinct and judgment could not be considered infallible.
Not yet, he said eventually,
gesturing for Sukunu to accompany him back up the corridor to the monitoring chamber.
But I feel he will prove true.
Looks likely that we'll know soon enough, said Sukunu, as they entered the monitoring station and found Brother Librarian Kuthurai waiting for them.
The Psyker greeted the Primarch with a nod and a salute, shoulders hanging heavily, his eyes weary.
He had seen much employment in the past few days, probing into the minds of each new group of arrivals. How goes it? Asked Sukunu, while Korax bent to the vidscreen and watched Arendi.
The others are who they say they are, and they believe that the warrior who led them off Istvan is Gareth Arendi. The librarian glanced at the monitor, brow creasing. There is something they are holding back, though, a secret they are reticent to share.
Could you delve deeper and find it out? Asked Korax, not looking up.
No, my lord, not without some preparation, and even then with some risk to the subject, and myself. I am not as gifted as some among the librarians were. Breaking the subconscious of a legionary requires a great deal of my willpower.
Very well, said Korax,
thinking on what Arendi had told him of the prison world.
I think I already know this secret. If you are able, I would appreciate it if you could test the identity of Arendi right away. I know that you must be exhausted, but he is the last for now.
Of course, my lord. Kuthurai drew in a deep breath and wiped a hand across his waxen face. With a nod to Sukunu, he left the room. Korax adjusted the viewscreen display, turning on the audio feed. They heard Kuthurai approaching, and then the clank of the lock and the quiet creak of the opening door.
I know you, said Arendi,
eyes narrowed as he stood up and looked at Kuthurai.
What are you doing here?
I am here to make sure you are what you say you are, brother, Kuthurai said gently. This should not take long, and will not hurt if you do not offer resistance.
You were in the Librarius. If you think you're going to sink your teeth into my mind, you're badly mistaken.
Korax pressed a stud on the monitor controls, activating the speaker inside the other room.
Arendi, this is Lord Korax. Brother Librarian Kuthurai is there following my orders. You will comply with every instruction he gives you.
A Psyker? Arendi looked appalled. More than that, he looked fearful.
I would rather not, my lord. Do you know what these Psykers are capable of?
They can tell me the truth, Korax said sharply. I have had enough of your objections. If you refuse to submit to examination, I will have you locked in the deepest cell on the planet.
They hunted us with these witch bastards, my lord. They taunted us with visions of what they had done at the massacre, to prisoners they took, tried to bait us out of hiding. We had to think of nothing, emptying our minds to stop them picking up the slightest echo. They turned us into mindless prey, my lord. They enjoyed it.
Korax grimaced, but he could not relent.
We have a rule now, Gareth. All of those that come in must undergo psychic examination. One rule for all.
Arendi hung his head, hands twitching. When he raised his eyes, he stared at Kuthurai with surprising intensity.
All right. Do it.
Relax, brother. Kuthurai gestured for Arendi to sit down. The librarian followed him to the bench and sat next to him. This will be easier if there is physical contact, he said, his voice quiet and calm. He reached out a hand. Do you mind? Arendi shook his head after a moment and they clasped each other's arms, wrist to wrist. Kuthurai closed his eyes, but Arendai's were wide open, staring at the Psyker. There were no pyrotechnics, no moans or drama. Korax watched the display without wavering, even as Arendai started to tremble. He could see the legionary's eyes beginning to glisten, on the brink of tears. Eventually, Kuthurai opened his eyes and released him, but it was several seconds before Arendai was able to relinquish his grasp, leaving red marks in the flesh of the librarian, where his fingers had dug in.
"Happy now?"
Arendai demanded, standing up. Kuthurai said nothing as he left, the clang of the door signalling his exit. Korax turned his eye towards the door of the monitoring station until the librarian entered. A raised eyebrow was all the question the Primarch needed to ask.
"He is Gareth Arendai," said Kuthurai. "His memories, his sense of self, they cannot be replicated or faked."
Korax exhaled, realizing he had been holding his breath since the librarian had begun his test.
"Good news, my lord," said Sukuno.
He looked at Kuthurai.
"You seem unhappy about something."
The librarian shook his head and cast a meaningful glance at Korax and then to the commander.
"Give us a moment," said the Primarch, nodding towards the door. "Please."
Sukuno left them without comment.
"He is hiding something," Kuthurai quietly confided when the door was closed. "A secret, deep where I can't see it."
"Like the others?"
"Possibly. Each is individual. There is nothing I can do to ascertain the nature of what they wish to keep from me."
"But are they loyal?"
"I cannot give you a guarantee, but none of them are disloyal."
"What does that mean?" Korax demanded, frowning. "If they are not disloyal, then they must be loyal, yes?"
"I'm sorry, but they are all harboring a secret, my lord. A shared secret, I would guess, considering that all of them arrived together. While that remains, I cannot be 100% certain of their motives. But for what it is worth, I detect no animosity towards us, and when I probe with images of the traitors, it provokes a profound hate response."
"I understand," said Korax.
He saw that Kuthurai was almost dead on his feet.
"Go and sleep 4 full hours. If anyone disturbs you, then they will answer to me."
"Thank you, Lord Korax."
"Send Sukuno back to me when you leave."
Kuthurai saluted and departed. A few seconds later, the commander returned.
"So, do we trust him?" he asked.
Korax looked at the vidscreen again and knew that the decision was his alone.
"Yes," he said. "Division, distrust and doubt, the 3 greatest plagues Horus has unleashed upon the galaxy. We could destroy the enemy overnight to the last man and still die from these wounds 10,000 years later." "How can we heal the whole galaxy?" asked Sukuno. "We have not yet even won the war." "Perhaps the 2 things are one and the same," Korax said, almost lost in the thought.
He revived his focus and looked sharply at the leader of the Falcons.
"Find me the ranking members of the arriving groups and have them attend council in the morning. If Arendai has been passed as fit in the meantime, have him come as well." "You have a plan?"
Sukuno grinned at the thought, and his enthusiasm touched Korax, who smiled back.
"It is time to stem some of the bleeding caused by Horus."
The Primarch's smile faded, and his eyes narrowed.
"And time to inflict some wounds of our own."